Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you. Again, I am live out at Titans training camp today. Titans coordinators speaking to the media. Practice will get going in just a little bit. Nick and Connor back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have lots of Titans talk coming up in the second half of the show, but I did want to get to the news around college football, really college sports in general this week. NFL players literally standing on NFL fields on Saturday. Daquan Wright was with the Browns warming up in full uniform on Saturday. Sunday, he commits to LSU. And then yesterday, a former Saints defensive lineman, Xavien Harris, who was with Ole Miss, now he commits to LSU. If we want to flip over to basketball, R.J. Lewis, former Boston Celtics, Utah Jazz guard, he's been granted a preliminary injunction, becoming eligible to play for, you guessed it, LSU this season. I mean, why is it always LSU that seems to just want to, I mean, is the right word, ruin college sports? Like, we've seen other coaches come out. Dan Lanning this week came out and stood up against it and said it's wrong, you shouldn't be taking these guys. But, of course, LSU says, hey, somebody else is going to take him if we don't. So we've got to go get him. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on right now.
What a line from Lane Kiffin yesterday in that press conference. If we don't take him, somebody else will. And I'm thinking, no, what you're doing is you're stretching the rule book here, and you're just seeing whatever you can get away with. And whatever you get away with, they'll just ban the rest of whatever's left in the rule book. So I don't see it happening. I know the SEC put out a statement last night saying that once you turn pro, you're pro. You can't come back. But, I mean, to what degree? That was just more of like a slap on the wrist. Like, hey, don't do this.
Right.
But yet you still have the opportunity to because, you know, the courts.
Right. I mean, what sucks is the NCAA, the conferences, they just have no legal backing until the Protect College Sports Act gets passed or they do collective bargaining or whatever solution it is. Like, the NCAA obviously is saying that these players aren't eligible, but if a court allows them to, they can't go against it. And, like, the Big Ten this morning announces, hey, we're making a rule. You NFL players can't come back and play for Big Ten schools. But guess what? If somebody wants to, they're just going to take you to court, and they're probably going to get their temporary restraining order or their injunction or whatever it is to be able to play. I mean, I think what the NCAA needs to do, or maybe it's the College Football Playoff Committee, needs to come out and say, if you play these players, we're going to punish you for it, right? Like, come out and say, these players are ruled as ineligible by the NCAA. You're deciding to play with them anyway. And guess what? If you play with them, we're going to hold that against you, and you're not going to get selected for the college football playoff. That would stop people from taking them really quickly. And I don't believe that would be against the restraining order. You're allowing them to play. There shouldn't be anything to stop the teams who take these players, to punishing the teams who take these players. You're not punishing the kid, you're punishing the team at that point.
Now, here's the concern, though, is if it's four or five power four school teams that are always in playoff contention that follow suit with all this, and they take one player or two players that were in that free agency pool, they come back and play. Well, they're in the college football playoff committee's probably thinking, like, to your point, Jake, no, you can't do this. We're not going to include you in the playoff that way. But look at all the TV money that's being lost out, or that's not being taken in from that. So that's the other catch-22 of the conversation. I get your side of it, and I'm with you. But there's the money aspect of this. College football makes the most money out of all the college athletics. If they don't agree to it, then that's the big downfall.
Well, and it's a similar conversation to what we had with Brendan Sorsby. He was ruled ineligible by the NCAA. He got a friendly judge to overturn it. And now you're looking at ways to stop it. Like, how can the conferences, how can the College Football Playoff Committee, how can the NCAA just not allow this to happen, because it is bad for college sports. Objectively, it's bad for college sports. And I think even Lane Kiffin would tell you that it's bad for college sports. But guess what? It's not bad for Lane Kiffin, so he's going to do it. And so that's what frustrates me, is everyone knows this is wrong and this isn't good for the game. But when winning is paramount, and you know, Lane can make that stupid excuse of, well, these guys are available for us to recruit, and if we don't do it, someone else will. I mean, like, Dan Lanning came out and said he wasn't going to do it. I did see Ryan Day came out and said he was going to. So I guess Lane Kiffin's not alone in this. And maybe it's not the College Football Playoff Committee saying, you know, we're going to make you ineligible for the playoff. But it could be the NCAA says, guess what? You're playing an ineligible player by our rules. You found a way around it, and we can't stop you from doing it. But eventually, common sense is going to win out. We've already seen it with the nationwide injunction that was handed out in Colorado. That has now been scrapped, and you now have to have your own individual state-specific one. So I wonder how long it's going to take for these injunctions to get the stay and get overturned. And at that point, does the NCAA start vacating wins of, guess what, you played an ineligible player. That win doesn't count. That win doesn't count. And if it happens mid-season, the College Football Playoff Committee has to take that into account, don't they? So I don't know what the solution is here, but it all starts with these coaches. They should be standing up for what's right for the game instead of standing up what's right for them and their individual program.
Yeah, I've told this to Connor countless times. I mean, the root of all evil is the money in this case. The greed takes over in these conversations, because that's what this is. It is a money-driven business, unfortunately. The amateurism is out the door. This is a semi-professional, if not a professional, level of business for marketing and also the play on the field and on the court. I mean, you mentioned just there, like, vacating wins. Go back to the Alabama situation last year. What, Charles Bediako? He played, what, 5-6 games, give or take, and then after his 10-day injunction, he was not allowed to play anymore. So at that point, they were thinking, what do you do with Alabama when they get to the NCAA tournament? Do they lower them in a seed, or do they vacate the wins? What do they do? And I think if we see more and more of that, to your point, Jake, you will probably see, and if Ryan Day does this, if LSU does this with Lane Kiffin, you're probably going to see vacated wins off their schedule, and then probably have to go off the resume of, instead of being 12-0, they're, you know, 9-0, or they vacate those wins, or they look at them as losses, one or the other.
I like that of just like, hey, if you play Daquan Wright for the first three games and then the injunction gets overturned, those three games, your win against Clemson or your win against Ole Miss doesn't count, right? We're not going to evaluate those in your resume. And even if you're not 9-3 at that point, if you go 9-0, I feel like that stacks up differently against other teams.
And it also validates your point, Jake, when we've had way back in time, don't do a top 25 until like week 6. So then, you know, if you're going up against a top 5, top 10 matchup in week 2, like, for example, Tennessee, Texas, say there's two NFL players on those teams that got waived and they play, then you have the committee saying, do we vacate that for a win or a loss? And then you go into week 6 or week 7, then you have your top 25. So the top 5, top 15 games at the beginning of the season don't affect it at all.
Yeah, and I will stand by. The College Football Playoff Committee should not be doing weekly rankings late in the season, because it boxes themselves into a corner. You know, the AP poll, the media poll, I guess they can do what they want. But, like, the people who are actually making the decision don't need to be setting themselves up where they need to justify moving their rankings. We just need the best teams, right? And the issue with this solution is, like, even if you vacate the wins, it's not like the NCAA has the Men in Black neuralizer where it's like, look right here, those three games never happened. It's like people still watch those games happen, and there's going to be bias. Like, I know it's something in, like, courtrooms where it's like we ask the jury to strike that from the record, and, like, you do not use that in your when they're deliberations. Don't use that in your deliberations. But it's like, once you heard it, it's not like you can just erase that from your mind. I don't know what the right solution to this is. All I know is that LSU, Will Wade, Lane Kiffin, should not be doing this. It's bad for sports. It's bad for the game. I did want to get Connor's rosy input on this because he's been in such a good mood this morning. I know this is something that Connor is 100% on board with.
Absolutely. And I just find it ironic that it's, no, I don't. You know how I feel about this.
Yes.
I find it ironic, and I don't even know if ironic is the right word, but why is LSU so hell-bent on being the bad guys in this situation? Why is it Will Wade, who is quite literally building an NBA team? I mean, RJ Lewis hasn't played basketball in 2 years, and he's played for two NBA teams at this point.
Yep.
All you got to do is you got to find a judge who's biased enough to give you an injunction. And look, Kentucky's kind of battling this right now. Not in the NBA sense, but Mark Mitchell, who is trying to exercise a fifth year of eligibility with the 5x5, is coming back, and I think he's going to be approved. But that's a completely different situation than what this is. I don't understand. Yes, it might give you the competitive advantage, but what happened to the respect of the game? What happened to, we play inside the rules for the love of the game because we admire this sport and we're trying to make men? I understand, like Frazier says, it's basically a baby NFL now. It's a professional organization.
Yeah.
But whatever happened to, we are trying to set these guys up for success, either if it's on the football field or whatever comes next. Now it's just about who can gather the most money and who can build the most competitive advantage on the field. And on some level in college football, it's always been that way. You know, let's not act like the SEC wasn't paying anyone behind the table for years now, but now it's legal, and now it's a matter of who can step out of line the furthest to get the competitive advantage, and it's frustrating to watch, for sure.
Well, and I think the point that's been made this week that it's where I stand is there just needs to be a line between college football and professional football. And if you can go suit up for the Browns on Saturday in a preseason game and then head back to college the next day, what's to stop that line from becoming so blurry that there really isn't a difference? We can get to this on the other side. My big question is, what happens to these players? Let's say that nothing gets overturned. Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris and whoever else, Jack Pyburn, all come back and they play a full season. What happens to them next? They've already been in the NFL draft process. Can they get drafted again? Like, can they go as an undrafted free agent? Here's how you stop it. The NFL says, you get one shot at this. If you go back to college, you are not welcome to play in this league anymore. And I don't think they'll do it, but I think that's a way that they could stop. And we can get into that after this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, we are live at Titans training camp today. Final week of Titans training camp. Joint practice with the Bears coming up on Thursday before the preseason finale on Saturday evening at Nissan Stadium. We'll talk Titans later this hour as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, next man up, 1025 The Game. This Friday, come hang out with us at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 1025 The Game's 15th anniversary. Also, we have gifts that we will be giving away every hour starting at 6 a.m., including Preds tickets, Vandy tickets, concert tickets, and more. Plus, be sure to stop by T-Line and get signed up for a chance to win Nashville Predators season tickets. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthdays. And we appreciate all of the sponsors of the Game birthday celebration who have been with 102.5 The Game since the very beginning. So excited for that on Friday. Today we are out here at Titans training camp live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Going to talk plenty of Titans coming up in the second half hour here in the 10 o'clock hour, but wanted to talk college football a little bit more with Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris returning to play at LSU after being in NFL training camps. And the idea I had is the NFL could really put a stop to this and say, you get one shot to stay in this league, right? You come, and if you ask the team to cut you so you can go back to college, which I thought Todd Monken had a great comment on that yesterday of like, man, what kind of world are we living in where this guy is fighting for a job on an NFL roster and asks to be cut to go back to college? I think the NFL could nip this in the bud and say, guess what? You asked to be cut to go back to college. It is a privilege to play in the NFL, and you are not welcome back. So you can go collect your NIL check next year and go play college football for an extra season if the courts allow you to. But guess what? you're not going to be allowed to play in the NFL. Maybe it's not a full-time ban, but maybe it's a year or two ban. And if you're the NFL doesn't like 24, 25-year-old rookies very much. So I wonder if the NFL could be the savior in this situation of saying, guess what, you leave us, you're not allowed back, at least not immediately.
Well, you know, you make a good point there, Jake. If there is a ban involved of like a two-year season or two seasons or some sort like that, let's use an example here. Let's say this were to take effect this year, Arch Manning, I'm just using the Titans as an example. Say the Titans are drafting for number one overall again, and Arch Manning's on the board, right? Let's say they draft Arch Manning. He's number one overall, but yet he has the opportunity to come back to Texas for one more season. He says, hey, I'm going to go back to Texas. But in his contract with the Tennessee Titans, since this whole thing has been going on recently, say the Titans have something, a stipulation in his contract, like minor league baseball does for high schoolers. Say, or if you want to go back and play, you know, XYZ. They own the rights to that player. I could see the NFL in some case owning the rights to players that want to go back into college for another season or two. So when they're playing in the, you know, SEC and it's Texas versus Tennessee and Arch Manning is having a great game and their scouts are out there thinking, man, I really want that guy. But wait a minute. Don't the Titans own the rights to him? I could see the NFL saying, hey, maybe yes, there's a two-year ban, but when he's ready, he can come back and play for whatever team. I don't know. That's just me, though.
I mean, I guess I could see that aspect of it, of why should the Browns be punished by this? Not that Daquan Wright was ever going to be a superstar, at least you don't think, but and if he was, he wouldn't have left, right? Like, if he was going to be successful in the NFL, he probably wouldn't be going back. I just think that might be a way to make these kids think a second time about this and say, well, yeah, I could go back for, I don't know what Daquan Wright would be making to go back. Six figures, $500,000, somewhat. Like, let's just say it's $500,000. And it's like, well, if I don't make the Browns roster, there's nothing guaranteed to me. But I got $500,000 guaranteed to go back to LSU. Maybe he thinks, though, well, guess what? Is that $500,000 going to be more worth it than what I could make being on a practice squad for the next 5 or 6 years and maybe working my way onto an active roster if the NFL says, hey, you've got a two-year waiting period after you go back to college? And again, like, are teams going to want to sign a guy who's been out of football for 2 years or maybe goes and plays in the UFL or the CFL for 2 years? I don't know. But I do like your idea. It's like hockey a little bit of where Preds fans can go watch Michigan State this year and see a couple of their players playing for the Spartans that they know are going to be prospects in the future. I just think that college football already is kind of like the minor leagues, right? Like, these guys usually come in ready to play immediately. You don't usually need the extra marination to head back to college for an extra year after you've already been drafted.
Yeah, Chase McKay brought that up yesterday. We were just having a conversation in the hallway. I'll leave that for him to explain more on the hockey side of it all. But I just use baseball because I'm a big baseball fan. And
yeah,
I do think that there is an opportunity for the NFL to do that. And again, it's a multi-billion dollar company. The reason why I use Arch Manning is because he is a marquee name. And if the NFL is wanting to be a marquee franchise, a marquee sporting, entertainment of it all, you got to make sure your top players that you're coming into your rookie year are available in some sense.
Well, we can use another Texas quarterback as a good example of this, like Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers, 2 years ago, decided to come out of Texas. It was widely reported he had like a $4 million offer to transfer somewhere because Texas wanted to see what they had in Arch Manning. You know, the calls were finally getting a little too loud for Arch to start. So he wasn't going to be the starting quarterback at Texas, but he had an opportunity to go somewhere else for like $4 million. Instead, he goes into the draft and he's a seventh round pick. I bet Quinn Ewers would have loved to go back on his draft commitment and say, hey, yeah, no, I'll take that $4 million now, actually, and I'll go back to Miami or LSU or wherever it was that was offering him that. He wasn't given that chance to do that. I just think it blurs the lines too much between college sports and pro sports, and you're going to have teams spending draft picks on players not knowing whether they're actually going to be able to be on your roster because it's like, oh, well, could they end up going back? I will say one thing. This should be a one-year thing, right? Like, because of the 5-5 eligibility, I would think that there wouldn't be judges siding with these players beyond this year, right? Because beyond this 2022 high school class, everybody's getting their 5 years, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Everybody is on the same level playing field, so I don't think that players are going to be allowed back to come back to college. But for this year alone, it's a big enough issue that I think somebody has to step in and do something, and I think the NFL might be the only one that can actually make a meaningful difference here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the closest thing to a somewhat of a U.S. governing body in some sense, because whatever they say kind of goes in a roundabout way, you know? And kind of going back to the whole UFL point that you made just a second ago, if the NFL were to go with the minor league aspect of it all, if players go back to college, I think it's time for the UFL. They're probably salivating at the mouths, thinking we need to have more expansion teams, one team for every NFL team. And if you draft a player, the rights go to that, you know, certain NFL franchise. That player gets demoted to, you know, XYZ UFL team. And then if they're ready enough, they can bring them up and use it as almost like a practice squad. Like you still have a practice squad in the NFL and then still use the UFL as an extension to that.
Yeah, I mean, you could turn it into a developmental league, right, of a lot of these practice squad guys. Like, yeah, they're helpful during the season, right? They play scout team and they'll get the game day activations. But they're also probably not playing as much as they need to in order to actually develop. So, yeah, I mean, I like the idea of turning the UFL into a minor league and giving these guys who aren't on your 53 the opportunity to go get reps and go play actual football during the offseason to prepare for training camp. But, yeah, we'll see how this all turns out. Of course it's LSU is just the one thing that I've taken from this. Of, like, they – and Connor asked the question of why are they so – hell-bent on being the villains. They all already are the villains, right? All of their major head coaches, Lane Kiffin, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, Jay Johnson, all are already villains. So it's like they've got nothing left to lose. The college sports world is not going to think any less of them for doing this because they're already the villains. So I feel like that gives them the free rein to do whatever they want because they know that their reputation already is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, what, the FBI was involved at Ole Miss for bugging Lane Kiffin's office, right? Something along those lines?
Yeah, so, FBI was involved with Will Wade, his first stint at LSU.
I mean, you're right. They just fit the villain narrative and might as well just continue with it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, of course they're going to be the villains because everyone already thinks of them that way. So they – like Dan Lanning, I think, is viewed as one of the good guys in college sports, and he turned down the Alabama job to stay at Oregon, and he comes out with the statement of, oh, this is bad for the game, because he's got a reputation to uphold. Lane Kiffin knows he's one of the most hated men in college sports. So it's like – what difference does it make if I ruin college sports by bringing back these pro players? Because people already don't like me. It's not like my reputation's going to change in any way. Everybody's just like, oh, there goes Lane Kiffin again, doing what he does. Whereas if, Dan Lanning might be an example. I'm trying to think of another, like, coach that everybody kind of rallies behind.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, like, Nick Saban, he endorsed Lane Kiffin to go to LSU. It makes me wonder what is the perception of Nick Saban in this sense. Obviously, he's not in the current state of college football, but, you know, Kirk Herbstreit brought it up at the Rose Bowl last year. If there is a president of college football, it needs to be Nick Saban. I wonder how Saban, obviously, he's on the frame of mind saying, look, all these guys shouldn't be getting paid XYZ dollars. It's all about the player, not the actual money of it all. But I'm curious.
Yeah, it's this is going to be a big process as we go forward of how do you fix this, right? And I think the only answer is the only two answers are collective bargaining, where the players form a union and they negotiate what this is all going to look like moving forward. And once both sides agree to it, then there is rules that can't be overturned by any judge, right? Once if the players union and the schools agree to something, it's binding. You're good. Or if Congress intervenes and gives the NCAA and these conferences the ability to enforce their own rules, that can fix this. But until we get one of those, it's just going to continue to be chaos.
Yeah, I mean, that's college football. And I think a lot of people enjoy the chaos of college football in that sense. But to your point, though, Jake, yeah, there has to be some form of stability. And right now we're just not going to get that, I'd say, for the next 4 years, give or take. I mean, we all know the legal battles, they continue to prolong itself because of just what goes into it at all. But it's just going to take some time, unfortunately.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts on this, if you have any, on our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai Titans.com. Titans are on the practice field. We will talk Titans. Again, not open to the fans today, so can't give you updates before practice wraps up. But I did want to get into some of the concerns going on with the Titans coming out of that preseason game with Seattle. We talked a lot about the defense, talked a lot about Cam Ward yesterday. We'll get into that more. And the offensive line, the group that we thought was going to be the most concerning, has kind of fallen onto the back burner. We can get into that later in the show as well. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, next man up. 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you. We are live at Titans training camp today. Practice getting underway shortly. And again, not open to the fans. Can't give you live updates. But we will be able to on Thursday for the joint practice with the Bears. We'll be out here again at 9 a.m. Let's go to the phone lines here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bear has called in. Bear, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jake, Nick, Connor. First, I want to say Connor his rant earlier about Vandy. Yeah, I see what he's saying, but you about him wearing being concerned about
Curtis.
Yeah, I was gonna say first. Yeah, Curtis. Possibly getting discouraged and wanting to leave. You know, that's just a chance you got to take, man. You can't let these teams, you know, dictate the school. You know what I'm saying? They still need to be the head coach. You still need to be an arc of leadership. So you just have to take your chance. You just can't let them hold the team hostage. And, you know, also, you know, as far as players getting to leave every year, you know, you've got to remember now scholarships is yearly. Like, in real life, man, even though good players stay, they can come to you after season. Hey, guys, we're not going to need you next year. You know, so – and that's all. It's always been that way forever. So, you know, I guess it should be equal. Maybe both parties should get together, and when they decide, hey, we're going to stick together, then you stuck for that year, and then you just revisit it every year with every player. And I wanted to say what you were saying earlier with the, you know, I'm not a fan of Congress stepping in and having any say over anything that's not a government or state type organization, man. I think it's free market society, man. I would hate for, you know, Congress to come in and tell me how much money I can make. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't agree with that. And I just feel like, you know, if a team or if a school wants to pay you, they can pay you. And if they don't, they don't. You know, if we should live in a capitalistic free market society, it's just the way it should be. You know, they should pay what they want to pay in it. And if they think you're worth it, they can pay it. If they don't, you can move on to somewhere else. And you know, and as far as I kind of forgot my point because I was kind of getting into. But yeah, I guess I'll just let that wrap it up. I had some other thoughts for the kind of escaping right now. But I love the show, guys, and carry on.
Thanks for the call, Bear. We appreciate it. On the Jared Curtis front, I agree with you that Clark Lee. If you listen to him talk about the quarterbacks, you can tell that he has a long-term plan for what this is supposed to look like for Jared Curtis. So while I was surprised this morning that it was Blaise Berlowitz, I think they know what is going to be the best long-term action for Jared Curtis. And I'm sure there's conversations going on with Jared behind the scenes of, hey, you're going to play, you're going to get your opportunities, and I think they'll know when they need to put him in to obviously make sure that he's not going to hit the portal at the end of this year. On the other side of it, talking about congressional intervention, I think you need congressional intervention just for the ability of the NCAA and the conferences to enforce their own rules. Like, that is something that has to get done, because right now everything that these governing bodies do can be challenged at any level. And when you find a friendly judge, pretty much any decision they make can get overturned. For some reason, except for the suspension of Arian Carter, it's like we're getting all these stupid, chaotic situations in college football where Daquan Wright can come back from playing for the Browns last week to be on LSU, but Arian Carter repays a couple $100 flight and he can't play for the first 2 weeks of the season. It's stupid. But you need to find a way for these governing bodies to be able to enforce their own rules without constantly being overturned by the judicial system. But I do agree with what Bear said of, I don't know if Congress is going to be able to dictate how much money a player is going to make. I think eventually that has to come from collective bargaining, right? Like, I think that's where the NIL has to be reined in, is eventually I think you might have to have a players union and have some sort of collective bargaining between the players and the schools on what the market is going to look like.
I mean, we're approaching baby NFL. That's what we're doing right now. It's unfortunate because college football is and college sports in general are a product that is so held dear to the American people, especially in this region. But we're approaching Wild Wild West. Not that we're already not in there. We're truly in the deep. And honestly, I don't know if there's light at the end of the tunnel right now. And I'm not trying to fearmonger anyone, but it seems like there's something new and crazy coming out every single day. And now we're battling, hey, NFL players can come back to college. So I think there needs to be some higher support. I think that the NCAA needs to seek government help. And honestly, the fact that they were able to win that case the other day on the class of 2022 athletes being ruled ineligible is a huge win for them. It's starting to show that the American government is willing to make the right moves, and the higher courts at least. But you're always apparently going to have some crooked judge in the state of Louisiana that's going to approve everything and give them an injunction. It's disheartening, and I don't honestly see how we're going to get out of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the right like analogy would be for this, but the NCAA, it's like you're trying to stop somebody from getting somewhere. Like, I don't know. You're trying to stop somebody from getting past you, and the NCAA's only way to do it is just putting up their hand and saying, stop, don't go past me. And it's like, well, if you got no way to enforce it, nobody's going to fear you. Nobody's going to respect you. And that's the issue right now is the NCAA, yes, for a long time has been the villain in college sports, and I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But right now, they're getting pushed around by these friendly judges across the country that are just overturning every one of their decisions. And until you get some congressional intervention, I just think you're going to continue to see situations like this that just lack complete common sense, where everybody in sports would say it makes no sense that somebody who declared for the draft, ran out of eligibility, and has suited up in games for an NFL team should be able to return to college. But because one judge thinks that there's legal backing to it and can overturn it, then guess what? It's going to happen. If you get some congressional intervention, you can prevent situations like this.
So what you're saying is you and I should go and try and play football for LSU, and it'll probably be okay.
See, I don't know if Lane Kiffin wants me on that team. I was a half-decent quarterback on my sixth-grade peewee team, but outside of that, I don't think I would bring much of a resume to Lane Kiffin in the Bayou Bengals.
That's all right. We'll go to Ole Miss. We'll be better there.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we can do Ole Miss. Maybe James Franklin has a spot on the roster for me.
Yeah, but I don't want to play. I just want to walk out to Enter Sandman, and then I'll go back to the locker room.
Agreed. Yeah, I would say I probably wouldn't last more than a play playing in college football. So, but, I mean, we've got as much legal backing to go back and play college football as anybody does these days. So we will see how this turns out. I mean, I still, as I said with the Sorsby situation a few months ago, I believe in common sense to win out at some point. And it did with the Sorsby situation. I think eventually common sense is going to win out. Now, does that happen in the next 13 to 12 days before, less than that, 11 days before LSU suits up against Clemson? Maybe not. I think that might be a stretch. But I don't think that this is going to be something that lasts the entire year. I think eventually these players are going to be kicked back out of college sports. And then the question just becomes, what happens next? Is any NFL team going to touch these guys after they ask their team to cut them so they could go back to college? I don't know. But this is going to be that this saga is not going to stop until we get some intervention from Congress, which I believe, Connor, I don't know if you know, the next time they can vote is like early September. September 7th, I think, is like the next time Congress is back in session.
I'd have to do some research on that. But yeah,
I feel like I saw that, but it's at least a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, but if they're kicked to the curb from college football, I think this is going to be like a Betty Ocko situation. where they get to play for a couple weeks maybe at most, and then they're kicked to the curb. And then after that, it's like a good neighbor. We'll figure out which insurance firm they decide to work for.
That's true. They need Indeed. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone and text lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Let's talk Titans. Let's get back into the two-tone blue. Some concerns, obviously, coming out of Sunday's preseason game against the Seahawks. What are your biggest ones? We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. And I want to talk about Carnell Tate. I think this is a big week for the Titans' number four overall pick. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier will rejoin us shortly. We are live at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Titans practice today. Gearing up for the Chicago Bears coming to town on Thursday. Joint practice here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. And then the preseason finale on Saturday. It's going to be a busy week. I mean, practice today, joint practice Thursday, preseason Saturday, and then cut down day on Sunday. So we will have you covered all week long here on 102.5 The Game. Before we get into a big picture conversation I wanted to have, we'll do that at 11, on the biggest concerns you have about the Titans right now heading towards the season, and maybe one that's been downgraded a little bit from what we thought at the beginning of training camp. I did want to talk about Carnell Tate here for a couple of seconds. It was a quiet week for him last week. He had the big catch last Monday at the end of practice and took a big hit from Kevin Winston, and then didn't practice on Wednesday, was really not the same guy Friday, still does not have a catch in the preseason. Connor, what's your concern level right now around Carnell Tate? Again, no catches on five targets through his first two preseason games. And after a really strong start to camp, you've seen it taper off a little bit over the last few practices.
He is further down on my list of concerns than a lot of other things.
I would agree with that.
I will say that I'm not overly concerned about it. You know, that play the other night, you get two hands on the ball, you got to catch that ball. There's no way around that, especially, look, it wasn't the best ball thrown of all time, but it was a catchable
perfect,
ball.
No.
It was a catchable ball, so you've got to make that play. But, you know, my concern of Carnell Tate, it is a little bit disheartening to see him not dominate out there against backups, but I think you and I talked about this yesterday. We take it back to Ja'Marr Chase. Chase threw four preseason games, one catch for 16 yards. And the same conversations were being had about him. Was he worth the hype? Did you take him too high in the first round? Is he actually going to be an impact player for the Bengals? And I would say he turned out pretty okay. So, look, I'm not saying Carnell Tate is going to turn into Ja'Marr Chase. I would expect a little bit of a drop-off there, if we're being honest. But, you know, my concern for Carnell Tate right now is very low on the list of concerns for the Titans.
I 100% agree. I think as a rookie, no matter where you're picked as a rookie, there's always going to be ups and downs as you go through it. I mean, these rookies, they don't get a break. I mean, last year, they're gearing up through fall camp. They play a full college football season. For a guy like Carnell Tate, you're playing deep into January. Or I guess not deep into January. They lost in the quarterfinals, but like into January. And then you're immediately into draft process. You're into OTAs. You're into training camp. And then you go. There's going to be ups and downs. I agree with you. Like the Ja'Marr Chase thing we mentioned, Chad, our engineer, just mentioned too. It's like, I'm old enough to remember when the preseason talk was Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch a pro-size football. I think Carnell Tate is going to be okay. But I do think this is an important week for him to show that there is going to be a bounce-back factor for him of a couple down practices, still hasn't had a catch in a preseason game. You'd like to see him today, Thursday, and into the preseason game on Saturday finish training camp strong and head into the regular season with some momentum, because we do know, based on what we've seen in practice and what Robert Saleh said, it's like, hey, when it's time to go, we'll scheme the rock to Carnell Tate. He's going to be a big part of this offense, and you'd like to see him firing on all cylinders heading towards the Jets game.
I am, I think in the rare case of today, I think I'm a more positive person on the outlook of the Titans than a lot of people are. I talked about this on my show yesterday. We need to find a way to stick in the middle, because Titans fandom is like a swinging pendulum. Yep. You swing too far left one way and everyone is getting fired and you're going 0-17. But if you swing too far the other way, The Titans are going undefeated. You're winning the Super Bowl. Find a way in the middle. Obviously, it hasn't looked great through two preseason games, but you know how many quarters they've played of the six? Two, if even all of that. And no, it hasn't looked great there, but you cannot make a final judgment on the preseason. That goes for Cam Ward, that goes for Carnell Tate, that goes for the defense, that goes for every single player out there. Has it looked encouraging? Absolutely not. Am I ready to full-on say this is going to be an absolute dumpster fire of a season just because of what I've seen in two quarters of two preseason games? No. I mean, I think people are too quick to assume that Cam Ward is a bust. I've seen a lot of texts and a lot of tweets today saying he is the worst pick since Jamarcus Russell at number one.
I was about to bring that one up. Did you see it? That was hilarious on the text line. We got a text earlier saying that, is it fair to say Cam Ward is the biggest bust since Jamarcus Russell? And I responded to him and said, Jamarcus Russell completed 52% of his passes and had more interceptions and touchdowns in his career, including his final season where he had 3 touchdowns and 11 picks. Let's just slow our roll a little bit. I'm with you, Connor. After the blue and white scrimmage, Titans Twitter was ready to fit Cam Ward for his gold jacket because he had a good day. And coming off of, again, a very discouraging first two preseason games, people are ready to toss him to the side. It's somewhere in the middle, right? It hasn't been perfect. I would say it's been disappointing overall. Uninspiring was the word that Dan Orlovsky used that I think is good. But, again, we live and die with every data point way too much. You've got to take it all in totality. And then when you get to the regular season, those are the games that really matter. And we're going to find out what Cam Ward is, what this defense is, what Carnell Tate is. That's when we're really going to find out about this team, even if the results we've seen so far are disappointing.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't think the Titans even consider moving off of Cam Ward this year. He's going to be the quarterback heading into a new stadium. I promise you, because when you take a first quarterback first overall, you give them every single opportunity and then some to prove that they are the face of the franchise because of how much you invested into that pick. And we can sit back and play revisionist history and complain about, well, why didn't they take the alleged Giants deal all we want? Fact of the matter is they didn't. Fact of the matter is they've built pieces around him. They've got a new coordinator, a new system, new receivers for him to look for. And all of that is built to help him. You're not going to get the final result in the preseason. We haven't even gotten to week one yet, and people are already proclaiming the season a failure. Give it time. You don't have to ride with the emotional waves that come with the preseason. It's overreaction season. I get it. But when we get to the regular season, we're going to find out so much more about this team. And I wouldn't even say we're going to find out everything about the Titans in week one against the Jets. Give it to the middle of the season before you make a final judgment on what this team actually is. That's my soapbox for the day.
No, I'm with you. I think everybody feels like they need to know right now, one way or the other. Are the Titans going to be good? Are the Titans going to be bad? Is Cam Ward a bust? Is Cam Ward a franchise quarterback? The truth is nobody knows. Absolutely nobody knows. And I'm with you. I think if Cam Ward is not starting week one in the new stadium, he had an absolute disaster of a season, right? Like a season like we just talked about with Jamarcus Russell, where he plays 7 games and has 3 touchdowns and 11 picks. That's the type of season it would take for Cam Ward to not be the starter next year. Because, again, if Cam Ward's not the guy, a lot of people are losing their jobs. And I know that's what some people out there might be calling for, but they're going to give Cam Ward every single opportunity to prove he's the guy before moving on. And that likely means even if he has a mediocre season this year, they're still going to give him 2027 to try and develop.
And this isn't the Cam Do show. This is just the truth. It's reality. No one is getting fired off of the preseason.
I love how it's become like becoming Cam, like you're a Cam Do or a Cam Boy or whatever it is, like that people are calling it, like you're being way too optimistic by saying that the second year quarterback isn't a bust before he's played his first snap of the regular season yet. Like that's being too optimistic, is saying that he's not a bust before he's even started his second season. I think it's hilarious. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Again, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But Cam Ward, surely, based on what you've seen, is a big concern right now heading into the season. Doesn't mean he's a bust. Doesn't mean it's not going to work out for him. But from what you've seen, I think you can be a little bit discouraged, a little bit disappointed, and we'll get into that coming up next. What are some of your biggest concerns as we head towards the final week of training camp here? There's one that we talked about a ton heading into the season, the offensive line. I got to say, my question is, are we talking less about the offensive line because other aspects of the team aren't very good, or has the offensive line actually been better than expectations? We'll do that coming up next. Nick Frazier will rejoin us as well. 615-737-1025. Next man up. You're on 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.